You're listening to the Self-Made is a Myth, Make a Difference Together show with your host, Coach Tim Campsall, where we talk with successful business owners to hear the stories of their journeys in building their successful businesses. And more importantly, we recognize the folks who help them excel because we know that achieving business success is not something we can do on our own.
Hello, everyone. This is Coach Tim Campsall, and I'm excited to have a CEO from Indiana with us today. My guest loves experiencing new things, and she's most proud of the growing ability that she's had to grow emerging leaders, and that's been a focus for her in her entire career. It's my pleasure to welcome Andrea to the show today. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, Tim. How are you, my friend?
I am so awesome. Thanks for asking. Well, hey, let's start with having you introduce yourself, tell us your full name and a little bit of your personal story, like where you were born and live, about your family and hobbies.
My origin story, yes. All of the things.
Yes.
My name is Andrea Butcher, and I am so grateful to get to do work that I love so much, that I'm so passionate about. It is a get to do. I mean, most days I think, really? Like, I get paid to do this. I get to lead this amazing business with these amazing people. So I'll tell you more about that. I grew up in Southern Indiana, and I'm so fortunate, Tim, that I had parents that always encouraged me to go and do. And one of the core messages growing up from my dad was always, it is such a big world, go explore it. And so I have always been such an adventuresome spirit, and out of graduate school from Indiana State, moved to Chicago. And my first role was with an organization, an electronics distributor that was headquartered in London. And it was a global business of about 10,000 employees. So at the time, the business was growing. I joined as an HR business partner. The business was growing and investing a lot in its people capability. And looking back now, I see how fortuitous that journey was to get me to where I am today. So I was at Premier Farnell for 8 years, ended up leading a global team of learning and development professionals, got an opportunity to literally travel all over the world, equipping leaders, and realized really early in my career, if we were proactive in equipping leaders to actually lead, a lot of these employee relations issues would go away. So that has been, I'm grateful that I had that awareness. I think it was preempted a lot by my graduate studies. I have a master's in human resource development, and so was looking for opportunities to develop organizational capabilities in a broader way. And so it became apparent to me. And that has been my sole focus throughout my career, is developing leaders.
That's awesome. What's your favorite thing to do in your downtime?
Well, I don't have a lot of downtime. I'm not a downtime kind of person. I mean, I feel like I'm at my most productive when I have a lot going on. Now, I'm very intentional about filling my life. Yeah. But I guess if I had a day to do whatever, it would be something new. It would be a new experience, a new place, a new culture, new food. Like, I just really love new experiences. And so that gives me a lot of energy.
Fantastic. We were just talking offline that you had a fun adventure with your daughter recently.
Yeah, we went to, for her last spring break of her college years, we went to London for a few days and Paris for a few days. And it was just really magical to see it through her eyes. She'd never been to Europe before. And to experience all the new, the amazing food. We went to a great show. We did all the touristy things. We did some shopping. We walked a lot. I think maybe like 40 miles or something across that week. But it was amazing. And you know, like anyone listening who has kids, like that kind of quality time one-on-one with your kid is very special. We made memories of a lifetime, no doubt.
It's pretty cool. My wife, her son invited her for a trip to Spain, and she was so flattered that he would want to spend his free time with her. So yeah. I can just
of
imagine
course.
How much fun you guys had. So, hey,
oh,
Andy,
yeah.
Is there right. A funny story that your family likes to tell about you that you'd be willing to share with us today?
So my nickname growing up, I think this will tell a lot about the dynamic in my family. My nickname growing up was the governor. My brothers dubbed me with that at an early age. So I am the baby. I have two older brothers. And I've actually studied a bit around the birth order and gender dynamics. And I think this happens a lot when there's a girl that has two older brothers. I like ruled the show. I was in charge. I was the one that decided what we were going to do and when we were going to do it. And so, yeah, so that was my nickname growing up, the governor. And they still call me that. So it suits my personality. I do like to be in charge. I do naturally lead and love to just, you know what it is, Tim, as I've really reflected on this in my growth, I love to bring people together to rally around something. Like, that's what it is. And so it comes from a place of wanting to drive cohesion and vision and enthusiasm. And it has served me well, certainly. And
you've been practicing it since you became the governor. Yeah.
Since I became the governor. Governor. Isn't that great?
So I know you're currently the CEO of your business. So I'll have you tell us a little bit more about that here in a minute. But how'd that business come about? And I know you're in process of, becoming an owner. So what gave you the confidence that, first of all, that you could be a CEO and now that you could, become an owner?
You know, what's interesting, my journey is it's just doing the work and doing the work well gave me an opportunity. I never set out to be the CEO of a leadership development business, but I got here because I'm good at and really passionate about moving businesses forward through leadership capability. So I mentioned earlier that that's really been my path. I worked internally. I ended up like leading HR and talent for large organizations. But I've also spent a lot of time on the consulting side. I was with a business called Flashpoint. It's a leadership consulting business for 9 years. And there I really learned how to grow a consulting business and how to put people in the right roles at the right time and how to manage profitability. And so I feel like I got my business chops. And then leading at an executive level, managing an $8 million P&L and a large team really gave me the business acumen and I rounded out my natural passion for the work. So this is such a great story, how I got to HRD, a leadership development business I lead today. In 2017, I was leading talent in HR internally for a security business. And the founder of HRD, who had founded the business in 1996, calls me up. And this is honestly how the phone call went. Hey, Andrea, this is Mark. Long time. I'm a straight shooter, so I'm going to get right to it. We are ready to retire. And yet we have this business. And there's still some legacy clients. It's still profitable. We know you. We've seen you. You have a strong brand, strong reputation. You're good at the work. Would you be interested in taking our business? You don't get those phone calls every day.
Right?
And it kind of came out of nowhere. And at the time, the team that I was leading wasn't quite ready, but it did give me an opportunity to at least start having conversations with them. And it took about 4 or 5 months until I was ready to exit the organization I was leading in. And we reached an agreement. They had sold the business a couple of years before. And so the new owner was only interested in the financials of the business and wanted me to grow the business and sell it. Mm. And so that was the plan coming in and how it happened. And it's really interesting. I mean, initially that was 7 years ago. So it's been quite a ride. And because of the pandemic, a lot of unexpected challenges. But today, so I am in the process of working with the current owner around a buyout agreement. It's been a process. I mean, I have learned so much about myself. I also feel like being a female in this environment has been really interesting. Everyone I talk to about, because I'm in an interesting situation, right? I have grown a business that I am now trying to buy. And so You can imagine the negotiation challenges we're having because I don't really want to negotiate myself. I mean, that's kind of what I'm buying. So So everyone I talk to, you know what they say? They say, oh, I got a guy you should talk to. I got a guy you should talk to. And I've talked to a lot of guys. Where are the females that are on the path to ownership? And where's the encouragement for that? There's really not that perspective in the market. And so I'm starting to notice a gap and thinking about how can I help other female entrepreneurs that are in this situation? Because a lot of times, candidly, I kind of feel like I'm being taken advantage of because I haven't owned a business before. But the thing is, like, I'm really good at what I do. I know that I have proven success that I can grow businesses by leveraging talent and skills. And so I'm trying to figure out how best to navigate that right now in a way that honors my values and honors everybody involved.
Absolutely. And I can imagine it's an interesting dynamic because you're ending up buying the business that you've significantly grown. So you've actually increased your purchase price.
Exactly. You got it. Hence the challenge. And yet there are these legacy clients. There is infrastructure. There are systems. There's incredible talent. There's a book of business. So I recognize there's a lot of value there. It's just trying to get to like what's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it sounds like you're going to be able to write another book or create another podcast to help people with the experience, help other women to learn from the experience you're going through.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, you cut out on me there. I think you said you were going to, that I could write another book about that.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. You can write a book about your experience and help other female business owners.
Exactly.
Aspiring owners.
you got it. I think so. Cause there's definitely a gap there or a challenge there that I'm facing, but I'm up for it. So I'm going to keep going and
I love
persevering
it.
Through.
Tell us more about the company. What's the name? What do you guys do? How do you help people?
Oh, this is so fun. So we are a leadership development business. And at our core, we help leaders figure out who they are so that they can be more of that. Leadership development is self-development. And anyone listening, if you want to follow me on LinkedIn or social, I spend a lot of time talking about how we need to rethink leadership development. And you're a coach, Tim. So you work with business owners every day. And a lot of times when you peel back the layers, it is a leadership challenge at the heart of it. And so I feel real fortunate to create a safe space for leaders to really process and struggle through. That's what's really going on here. And it's hard work. Leadership is hard. So the key with our growth experiences is over time, we provide focused, like what are the focused competencies that we're building within this group of leaders? Accountability, because that's where growth happens, in a safe, like a psychologically safe way. So it isn't, you will never hear me talk about leadership development as training. Training is a thing, I mean, for specific skills that you're building, mm-hmm. but leadership development, because it's self-development, I don't have anything to train or teach anyone about becoming more of who they are. Like I'm a coach and I'm a facilitator of that process.
Yeah.
So we talk about our work in terms of growth experiences, and that's our value proposition. We promise growth to our clients. And because we promise growth, we track and measure the shit out of growth through the process so that we can show at the end of the growth experience, here's the impact that all of this hard work had on your leaders and they feel growth. So it's not surprising that our organization has grown. I think we are talking about and marketing our work very different, and it's refreshing.
Yeah.
Our proposal close rate is high because I hear so many business leaders that I'm talking to about leadership development say like, wow, you talk about it a lot different. We spend a lot of time on the front end, making sure it's the right people. None of our growth experiences are mandatory because first of all, like nobody wants to be told what to do.
Right.
and for someone to say like, well, I don't want to participate in that training, like no amount of convincing them is going to up their level of willingness.
Yep.
So let's engage leaders in an application process. Like, here's what we're doing. Here's why. Here's the impact. Here's what it will do. Here's what it will feel like. Is that something that feels appealing to you? And if so, tell us why. And do you want to be a part of that? So a lot of time upfront on building connection, building relatability, building engagement in the process so that the people that are engaging in it are there willingly.
That is so cool. Hey, tell us a story where someone pushed you or inspired you that you could do it. And even maybe you didn't think that you could and the impact that person had on you.
It was early in my career. And I tell this story a lot and I love it so much because it's such a good example of someone spotting potential and encouraging that. I was 24 years old, right out of graduate school. I had just been promoted into this learning and performance role at this global electronics company I mentioned earlier. And the organization was going through a lot of change. We were completely changing our sales model to more of a like proactive, consultative selling model. And it was going to impact everything across the business. So they asked my team to do some research around change leadership. And we found a great program. A lot of my team were over in the UK. Mm. We found a program in Manchester that equipped leaders to navigate change and to engage others in change. And so it felt really good for us. Yeah. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go over and I'm going to do this certification. It was a week long. Remember, I'm 24 years old. I had never delivered or facilitated training in a corporate world, but I was enthusiastic. Like my boss was like, I think you're the best person to do this. You go do the certification, come back, basically equip your team, and then you all are going to deliver it all over the country. That was the plan.
Wow.
So I'm in Manchester on the Thursday of that week, learning so much, loving this, thinking about how am I going to take this to my team. And my boss connected with me and said, hey, we have a great opportunity. All of the CEOs of the European businesses are going to be in Manchester on Monday and Tuesday. So can you, since you're going through the certification, Andrea, you just stay and facilitate the learning with them? So you can imagine my reaction. I'm 24 years old. Did you say all of the European CEOs? Literally, Fabio Ferrari from Italy was in the audience. I had 3 translators because English was a challenge for some leaders. I mean, it was such a big mountain to climb. Yeah. But he said the magic words during on that phone call. He said, Andrea, I would not ask you to do this if I was not confident that you could. And I was terrified, and I'm sure it wasn't that great, but I did it, and it gave me the confidence. I mean, my first corporate facilitation was with European CEOs. So if I can do that.
Right? Good for you. That's awesome.
I know. It was interesting. Well, and I think they gave me a lot of grace. I was very clear that I've just gone through this certification.
So
what a great experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, on the flip side, we know that business success doesn't happen in isolation. So tell us about one of the biggest challenges you've had as a CEO and maybe somebody who came alongside you and helped you through that.
Yeah. You know, the challenge that I'm having right now that I think is just so par for the course in a growing consulting business is balancing capacity and sales. You know, we have a team. I'm obviously always managing profitability. And so wanting to ensure that we have the right mix, wanting to ensure we have the right people, but also people that are doing the work. And so when new sales are coming in, I'm always balancing the like not burning people out with enough work.
Yeah.
And so we leverage a lot of contract talent, but then staying connected to contract talent. The other thing, Tim, that immediately comes to mind. So capacity is always a challenge for me. The other thing that comes to mind is focus. Focus equals growth. And when particularly during challenging times, I found myself chasing the revenue rather than really chasing what is the right work to do. So fortunately, we're in a good position with cash flow right now. And I have felt like even over the last few months have said no so many times. No, and here's a partner. Here's who's in a better position to help you with that.
Yeah.
Because it's not our core focus. Because what has happened in the past when I've done that is all of a sudden we're off doing work that isn't what we're great at.
No.
It's not the thing that's going to support our growth. And so it's hard. It takes discipline to say no But I have found by building partners that do that kind of ancillary work that we could do, but that isn't our core, that frees me up. And it also gives us a referral partner so that when opportunities that are more aligned come in, they're going to push them to us.
It's so hard to say no to that, you know, revenue. If somebody wants to pay you, right? Somebody wants to give you money and you're like, no, I have to stay focused on what we do best and
absolutely
say no to that money.
Well, and I think that that builds a lot of trust and respect also with clients. We've had a lot of clients that have said like, hey, I so appreciate that. And because I think in the past, I've maybe had a bit of a scarcity mindset, like, oh my gosh, if I introduce someone else, then they're going to be working with
right?
them. Like, no, they're going to know what we are really good at and continue to leverage us for our strength.
Yeah. One of the things how we define selling is professionally helping people to make a decision that's right for them. And so what you just described is that, right? Like now you're in a consultative mode, right? You're a partner. You're saying, nope, you know what? I'm going to introduce you to someone else because that's a better fit. And folks remember that.
You got it. Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think one of the things, Tim, that led us to saying no, like you have to have a bigger yes. Mm. So we had to go through the process of like, what is our core? Like, what are we the best at?
Yeah.
And what is that process and getting that like really, really solid? It's easier to say no to something when you have a bigger yes. Mm-hmm. So that has helped to free us up.
Yeah. And you mentioned the scarcity versus abundance. So having an abundance mentality, right, also gives you permission to say no, because we know that there's more than enough out there. And if we know what our core is, we're going to attract more of those folks, and saying no just opens up the opportunity for more yeses later.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, it helps everything in the business. It helps focus all of your marketing, all of your communication efforts, all of your sales efforts and operations as well, because now it's like, let's build processes around these things and these things only. And that's our sole focus as a team.
Andrea, yeah,
it's been a game changer.
That's fantastic. So I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, Andrea, and ask you to pick three people who have been most influential or helpful in the business's growth, folks that you're most grateful for. So who are those three people and help you?
My VP of operations is a game changer for us. So as a leader, I've gotten really clear on what I'm great at. I am a visionary. I am an encourager. I spot potential. I will push people in the direction of their dreams. I don't like to maintain. I don't like the detail follow through. And so I, a few years ago, brought on the best operations talent that I know, a woman named Erica Turcorn, who I'd worked with previously. And she is genius at executing on vision. She's genius at process and making sure that we stay on process and pointing back when something's off to say like, well, because we're off process. And she's been a game changer for our business. So I think for any business leader, you know, I think a lot of times we try to wear too many hats, like know the hats that aren't your strength and supplement with talent that is passionate about that. That's been huge for us.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It makes me think of, you know, we use the DISC assessment as a way to help understand, you know, what people are good at and what they aren't. So, and usually the visionary of the organization is not so good at landing the plane. So, right. Having that operations person that can say, hey, yeah, I'm embracing your vision and I'm going to, you know, build out the plan and connect the dots and hold everyone accountable. And right now we have the yin for the yang and the business is up working so much better.
You got it. Well, and you've got to empower that talent because you're empowering their strength. And a lot of times, like the founder, owner, entrepreneur is so passionate. And I think in our passion and intensity, we close off and don't intend to disempower the team, but we do. And so it's really important that we build a trusting environment, like that where she can say to me, that's not the right thing. Or Andrea, you need to slow down right now. You need to pause.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, what's next? What's new? What's next? What's new? So she can bring me back to focus. This is our focus.
Yeah, what are the other two people?
Partnership. Well, then right next to Erica is Amanda Aresis, who's our VP of client experience. And I think this, if I think about my relationship with Amanda, it's also such an important leadership lesson. You know, I am on the path to ownership because I love the work that my organization does. And I think that's the case for a lot of entrepreneurs. I read E-Myth a few years ago, and it became clear to me, like, I'm not going to be able to scale this organization through me.
Yeah.
And so Amanda has been pivotal to helping us scale. She and I are a lot alike. We share a lot of the same skill sets. And that has actually been really helpful because she can, if a new engagement, like especially when we're grown, I'm doing very little delivery now. But a few years ago, when I brought Amanda on, I could feel really confident in just like inserting her and selling her and introducing her. And that was huge in helping our business to scale. So she all of the facilitators and coaches run up through her. She has incredible relationships with our clients. She's growing our client base because of the work that she does. So that's been a huge lesson to me, is to find people that can help you, that can basically replicate, multiply you.
Yes. Yeah. You mentioned scale, and it's so true, is we can only grow to our own capacity unless we bring others on to replicate our capacity. So that's awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. You got it. And it's just so fun to see the business grow through her. Yeah. It really is. And it's also, you know, for me in a growing business, I'm good at talking about the good work that my team is doing. Mm. So sales become easy. You know, it's I'm just talking about them and the results that they're getting and what we're seeing in our work.
Yeah, well, I find it's often easier to promote somebody else versus promoting ourselves, right?
So you got it.
Now you're selling your team instead of selling yourself. It's so much easier.
Absolutely. And telling those stories is a lot of fun. It's energizing.
Who would be number three?
The third person would be our new salesperson. So Anna Paterino joined us. This is a great story. So she is an emerging leader. She's new in her career, and I'm having so much fun pouring into her. Her potential is immense. She's an absolute rock star. I'm on a board with her father, and he connected with me early last year and asked me if I would just do some networking with her because she was in a sales role with Salesforce, but she was really interested in leader development. So we had a networking meeting, and 5 minutes into the conversation, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not networking with her. I'm totally going to hire her. She's genius and brilliant. And I loved her presence and confident and just what a dynamic young woman. And so she's been with us now for a few months, but what she has really, this is, I think, another lesson. She's really just brought so much rigor to our sales process. Mm. So she, you know, having this sales background from Salesforce, she's really good at all of the touch points, and she does 50 reach outs a day.
Wow.
50. Because she knows it's a numbers game, and she's doing all of these cold calls. And what's interesting is now, like, our goal is 5 meetings a week. And so I just show up to these meetings. She prepares me. She equips me. She gives me all the background. She tells me about their business. She tells me about their need. She tells me about them, so that I can just show up and leverage my strengths.
Yeah, that's
awesome. She's doing all of the rigor and all of the work. I mean, it is such an important investment that we've made. And one of the things I've learned as a business leader is that sales rigor, having a management and an accountability system in place. I've hired good salespeople in the past because they were great salespeople. Mm. And it was basically like, good luck, go sell.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the management or accountability system in place. There wasn't real clear expectation. There were revenue goals, but we didn't have all those leading measures in place, and we weren't monitoring those. And so now she reports up to my colleague, Erica, who's an incredible manager. They're constantly checking in. There's clear visibility on where we are and where she is. And it's been a game changer for our business. Our pipeline is greater now than it ever has been in the history of our business. And it's because of her.
That's awesome. You mentioned the tracking, the phrase of what gets measured gets done. It's just, it is a game changer, right? Of, hey, it is about the seeds. How many seeds are you planting? So those 50 reach outs a day, right? Because You know, some of those will sprout right away, some will sprout next year, you know, and so what are we doing to continue nurturing those? And yeah, the pipeline result of that activity is just unbelievable.
Absolutely. Yeah. And her attitude, I mean, you talked about abundance versus scarcity. You know, she is always, maybe not right now, but it'll come around. Maybe not right now, but it'll come around. And we did an event. I mean, just listen to this initiative. This is amazing. We did an event in Terre Haute last week. So a couple of weeks before the event, she drove to Terre Haute. She took a bunch of HRD, sales and marketing materials, and she went into businesses, inviting them to this event. I mean, that's just, who does that?
Right?
Andrea, she's fearless.
Go ahead. No, please. Yeah, that's awesome.
She's fearless. And I love that.
That idea of, you know, not fearing rejection and not caring if people say no. And what you said of, she's like, hey, if not now, it'll be later. Right. Yeah. That persistence and confidence is amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Andrea, as you think about the next 1 to 3 years, what's your number one priority or the challenge that you see in achieving your goals?
Yeah, so this path to ownership is big. I'm really working to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And continued growth, continued scale. One of the things that we're looking at in our business is how to more so tech enable the work that we do. You know, leadership development and executive coaching, as you know, Tim, it is so relational.
Yeah.
And what's happening a lot in our industry is these AI generated coaching platforms. And I definitely see value in the just in time, but you're never going to replace the human to human connection. So we're trying to figure out how do we supplement technology with the human to human. Exploring ways to do that and to get closer, because leadership happens in the moment.
Yes.
And so we're always like, how do we get closer to leaders? How do we add value to them in those challenging moments when they need a safe place or a trusted advisor?
I love it. That's awesome. Hey, last question here, Andrea. Jim Rohn, an amazing business guru, one of his quotes is that we become the average of the 5 people that we spend the most time with. So as you think about that quote, what advice would you have for, you know, new business owners who are, you know, or aspiring business owners who are trying to do it on their own and figure it out by themselves?
Yeah, definitely leaning into your trusted advisors is really key. But I do think, I mean, I don't think it's figuring it out yourself, but I do think it's trusting yourself. I have a big speaking engagement coming up and I was looking for a quote and I was doing some research and exploration. And like, I had this feeling of like, I got to find something out there to say, to connect. And then I'm like, wait a second. Like I have a point of view on this topic. Why do I feel like I have to find something out there? And I share that because I think that happens a lot in our day to day. And we get caught up in, oh gosh, you know, Scott's point of view is a really good one. So I need to take that on. Or the feedback and the information in the outside world is so valuable so long as we are checking in with ourselves. Sure. And how does that feel to me? And I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting thing. I think it's different for women than it is for men. For me right now in my life as a business leader, I have spent most of my career looking out there for answers. Mm. And I am finding the more I trust myself, the more confident I am, the clearer I am. I've tripped over my words in the past because I've tried to take on the words that others want me to say or what someone else encouraged me to say. And so now I'm really working to dig deep in who am I, what do I want and what do I need and how can I communicate in that in a way that best connects with my audience.
I love it. Yes. That's
so a little slant on your question.
Yeah, but no, I love it. I mean, the reality is that if we don't, you know, if we don't believe it in ourselves, right, if we're not confident in ourselves, it doesn't matter what someone else has said to us. Cause like you said, right, we're going to trip over it. Cause it just doesn't feel right. Or it just doesn't work. So I appreciate
it's
that.
It's inauthentic.
Yes.
It's like when we're walking around with a mask on. It feels awkward. It feels clumsy.
I love it. Andrea, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And thank you for the great work you're doing, Tim. I'm so grateful for you and for the forum that you have for these conversations.
Hey, I do actually want to add a bonus question. You spoke a lot about a number of folks who have had an impact on you. If they were all on the show today, what would you want to say to them?
I love you. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for enriching my life. Yeah. And the good news is, I think they all know that.
I love it. Andrea, have an awesome rest of your day.
You too. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Made is a Myth show. Please help spread this movement by liking and subscribing to our show and following us on Facebook and LinkedIn. To join our movement, go to bemadtogether.com. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Please pay it forward and be sure to tune in next time to the Self-Made is a Myth podcast.